Welcome back to Book Club. Today we have the great news that Chastity attacks end eventually, which is great. So he talks about this. He says that he notes with great displeasure that the enemy has, for the time being, put a forcible end to your direct attacks on the patient's chastity. Now, that can take a lot of time, obviously, so I don't want it to be discouraging for some people. Be like, I've been dealing with chastity attacks for a really, really long time. But I do think that it kind of at least ebbs and flows. I feel like there's been time periods in my life where the devil's been allowed to really directly attack me with chastity, and times where it's just been like, there's like this force field around me when it comes to it, right? Where it's just like much more difficult. And I've been kind of aware of where I am in that like kind of ebb and flow of those two times, right? But he talks about this, I think, is really important too. In the same paragraph, he says, the belief of ignorant humans that there is no hope in getting rid of us except by yielding. And sometimes that can feel really true, that the only way we can get rid of the demons is by, in this temptation, this constant temptation, is to give in to the temptation itself, to do the thing, whatever it is that you feel tempted to do, right? To feel like that finally the demon of the temptation will let up. And we know that that's so often, that's always a lie, right? We know that that's always just overblown. It's always, just not the move. There's other ways to get rid of the temptation. It's to move yourself out of the circumstance, right? It's to have things that you go to in prayer and changing your bodily position, whether you're alone or with somebody else, right? If you're laying down or you're, you know, cuddle up to your boyfriend or girlfriend, like actually physically moving yourself can be a huge thing and just kind of breaking the attacks of spiritual attacks and temptation that's going your way, right? And so really important that we understand that and realize how important it is that our body posture and other things that we can do to move on past temptation that we have. I thought this was really interesting. I really liked that he talked about the lowerarchy in this one. So he says, in a rough and ready way, of course, this question is decided for us by the spirits far deeper down in the lowerarchy than you and I. It is the business of these great masters to produce in every age a general misdirection of what may be called sexual taste. Now, what I liked so much about that in this chapter is kind of gives the I think a lot of what you hear here in this book is the tactics, and occasionally Screwtape will kind of pull back a little bit and give you kind of the 10,000, the 5,000, 10,000 foot view, and actually take a look at the strategy, right? So strategy is kind of this overarching, kind of broader concept and plan of attack, where the tactics are actually like the day-to-day ways that we kind of implement the strategy. And he talks about how in the lowerarchy, right, the opposite of a hierarchy, so the lower you go here in hell, the more power you have, influence you have, more important you are, that it's their job to really shape society. And so they're kind of doing these overarching things to kind of shape society and give a vision, where the demons, the junior tempters like Wormwood, are actually in that day-to-day working in the tactical level, right? He says, you see them directing. I really like this on the next page. It says, as a result of the work of the lowerarchy, we are more and more directing the desires of men to something which does not exist, making the role of the eye in sexuality more and more important, and at the same time making its demands more and more impossible. And I think this is so applicable. I mean, he didn't even know where we were going to eventually get to when it came to pornography, right? Just pornography, the rampant pornography we have in our world. We live in a very pornographic world now, where you almost, I heard recently, I think we might have shared this on our marriage podcast, Emily and I, but we were at a marriage retreat recently, and one of the speakers said that he believes that everyone has been sexually harassed. He said sexually assaulted, I think, because of just the pornographic nature of our culture, because we're so pornographic, because we're so sexualized, we're exposed to so much sexuality at such a young age. He's like, I think everybody kind of needs to go through healing for sexual harassment, sexual assault. And I was like, man, that's a really powerful statement, but I think it's so true. We see this in this kind of like impossible standard that's created, right? When you're exposed to pornography so young, men and women, you have this really unrealistic and really dark and weird vision and understanding, if you even want to call it that, or expectation when it comes to what sexual intimacy, what sex really is. We just totally lose it, and it gets lost in the fantasies and the weirdness of so much pornography that you then try to settle down and get married and marry someone. And you see these young guys, this is really happening in today's world, where you have like these increasing number of cases amongst young men of erectile dysfunction and all kinds of sexual challenges. And the intimacy in marriage is pornography, you know, destroying the intimacy between the couple, because there's this unrealistic expectation that a lot of men or women have because of being exposed to so much pornography and just having their view and their understanding of sexuality and sexual intimacy in a marriage so corrupted. So we see this. We have to be mindful of these strategies. And the strategies of the demons is something I'm always very, very interested in. This is why you see me often going back through history, seeing how things have changed, seeing the kind of general streams and shifts in society, in the church, and in culture over time, because I'm so interested in that, because I think that we have to start to understand the strategy. It's good to understand the tactics. It's better to start to understand the strategy, because we are working with God on the strategy for the good side, right? We are working with the strategy of how can we actually start to revive the church? How can we bring about, you know, some church reformation that may be needed from within, rather than breaking free and, you know, becoming a sedevacantists or Protestants, right? And just kind of breaking free from the church. How can we actually try to reform it from within? How can we start to transform our parish, our family, and our own spiritual lives, right? And draw them closer to God. And so these are things we have to be thinking about. So I think it's important, as we start to get these tactics down, to also be thinking about the strategy that the devil's using on a greater, you know, greater scale and impacting more people that way. So yeah, so pray about that. Let's think about that today. God bless you. We'll see you on Monday. Take care. Have a great weekend.